Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Mark chapter 6, verse 45 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, everyone say immediately. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. I want to talk tonight for a few moments from this thought, through the storm, through the storm. I believe the Lord has placed a word on my heart that he wants to get into your heart tonight, that he wants to take you through the storm. And so would you pray with me tonight, and let's believe that this room is going to be a faith-filled room, and let's believe tonight that we're going to hear from heaven and we're going to walk out of here different. Lord, we love you so much, and we are so thankful that we are here in your house. Lord, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. And so, Lord, as we gather tonight, we sense that your presence is here. And so, Lord, do something now, Lord. We ask that you'd move in a mighty way. May we all leave tonight better than how we came. Lift our heads, encourage our spirit, and may we be transformed by the preaching of your word. We honor you, we praise you, and if you believe it tonight, all of God's people said, oh, come on, all of God's people said, amen. Come on, 6 p.m. turn up service. Why don't you make a little bit of noise at the Fillmore Theater tonight? Recently, I flew Miami to Jakarta, Indonesia. Anyone out there ever been to Indonesia? Anyone out there? A few people, a couple people. Miami to Jakarta, it sounds so easy. Miami to Jakarta. Miami to Jakarta. It sounds simple. It sounds easy. And sometimes our words, if we're really being honest, are a bit misleading because our words can be deceptive. Because many times when we're talking about the trips that we're going on, we just focus on the destination. But if I'm being honest with you, getting to Jakarta is anything but easy, and it's anything but simple. Because to get to Jakarta means you have to wake up. I woke up on a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. in order to make a 9 a.m. flight, because I had to get to the airport 2 hours early. I got on the airplane, and we took a 3.5-hour flight, Miami to Chicago. When I got to Chicago, we had a 3.5-hour layover where we waited around for the next flight. Finally, we boarded that flight, and we went Chicago 14.5 hours to Tokyo. And may I just add to it, I had a rude stewardess. I had an old man who would not quit snoring behind me, and there was a baby to my left that never stopped crying. And to add insult to injury, I left my headphones at home. Anyone ever been on an airplane, you don't have your headphones? Oh my goodness. Finally, I arrived in Tokyo, only to have a 4-hour layover in Tokyo. From there, I had to clear customs, had to go through another security checkpoint, got on another flight, Tokyo to Jakarta, 7 hours in the air. I finally arrived in Jakarta. I had left on Tuesday. It's now Thursday morning. I get to my hotel room. It's Thursday, 2 a.m. My body's telling me it's Wednesday at noon, but my clock is telling me something different. How many of you know Miami to Jakarta is quite the journey? In fact, Miami to Jakarta means you got to go through some stuff. See, I really think that many times it looks a lot like this when we follow God. I think we live in a world today that's obsessed with the destination, and we forget about the journey. Yet, can I encourage you tonight? In order to get to, you got to go through. Look at your neighbor and say, in order to get to, come on, look at the other neighbor, the one you don't like as much, the other one. Say, in order to get to, you got to go through. Look at your other neighbor. Say, in order to get to, you got to go through. It's just how life works. If you want to get to, you got to go through. I have a sense in my spirit tonight that some of you are headed to some incredible places. I have a sense in my spirit tonight, some of you are headed into a destiny that's full of promise, that's full of prosperity. Come on, anybody know you're headed to greatness? You're headed to something awesome in God. Some of you are headed to a promotion. Some of you are headed to a breakthrough. Some of you in the choir, you are headed to a healing. You are headed to a new blessing. Yet listen to me, if you want to get to, you got to go through. Yeah. Many times as you read the scriptures, what you'll see is this is how it works with God. God will take you from mountaintop to mountaintop, but you got to go through the valley. He'll take you glory to glory, but you better get ready to go through some suffering. He'll take you blessing to blessing, but you got to go through sacrifice. And he will take you miracle to miracle, but you're going to have to go through the storm. Now, I really believe that the word through is one of God's favorite words. It's not one of our favorite words. We like to, but God likes through. Look at how Isaiah said it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I have come with the report from the Lord tonight, and the report of the Lord is this, is you're going to get through this thing. You just got to keep moving forward. Come on. Anybody believe you're headed to a beautiful destination? Come on. Let's get ready to go through. Give God some praise in this place, 6 p.m. Mark 6 is an incredible story of some men who went through a storm. In fact, Mark 6 could be cross-referenced with Matthew 14. It is the story of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Now, I've preached the storm story many different times throughout my ministry. Yet this past week, I noticed something unique about Mark 6. And the unique thing that I read in Mark 6 is that as you read Mark chapter 6, what you'll find out is in Mark 6, Jesus is doing some incredible miracles. In fact, one of my favorite miracles is when he takes a little boy's lunch, a Lunchable if you can imagine, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he feeds 5,000 people with it. And then at the end of Mark 6, we just kind of read it tonight, we see that he gets to the other side of Gennesaret, and as he gets over there, individual people, one by one, they start to come to Jesus, and as they simply touch his cloak, they get physically healed. In one miracle, we see him ministering to the multitudes. In the second miracle, we see him ministering to the individuals. Yet what's wild is right smack in the middle of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle to the multitude, and right smack in the middle of the miracle to the individuals, we see the disciples go through a storm. And as I read it, it kind of felt real personal to me this week. Because 2 weeks ago, we had probably the best, most miraculous, most phenomenal church service we have ever had at VU Church. Labor Day weekend, we launched our 6th service. We celebrated 2 years as a church. Come on, hasn't God been faithful? and the multitudes were ministered to. We were like, let's charge the hill. Largest attendance we've ever had at JDD. Incredible day. Then I'm thinking about yesterday. Yesterday we had I Love My City. Over 300 of you showed up to serve the city and to meet people's individual needs. Yet in between the miracle, or in between multitudes and in between individuals, we went through a storm, and this storm is called Irma. See, what you'll find is many times, if you're going to get to a miracle, you got to go through a storm. Some of you tonight, I believe that you might be in a storm, but you also just simply might be in between two miracles. What if you're just in between two miracles? See, in order to get to the next miracle, you got to go through the storm. You got to go through this thing. The Bible says that these guys, they get out into the boat, and this is a wild story. Because the reason why they ended up in the storm is because they obeyed Jesus. Jesus told them to get in the boat. Jesus told them to go to the other side. And as they obeyed Jesus, they were led right into a storm. Now, I don't necessarily believe that God creates storms, but what I do believe is that God is always willing to help us through the storm. And the Bible says, if you can imagine, that they're out in the middle of this lake and this storm is coming hard. The wind is very, very strong, and the disciples are rowing with all their might trying to get to the other side. But as they're in the middle of this storm, the lights are out. It's 4 a.m. The rain is falling. It's dark outside, and they begin to worry. They begin to panic. Because what I believe is many times when we're in the storm, the greatest problem that we have is the greatest problem is that we don't believe that Jesus is anywhere near. So many of us, we're in a life storm right now, and our knee-jerk reaction is we're going, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And where are you right now? And because we're fixated on the darkness, and because we're fixated on the rain, and because we're fixated on all of the elements, we can't see Jesus. Yet notice what the scripture says. The scripture says that Jesus, he begins to walk out onto the lake towards the disciples. Here's the good news. The good news is when you can't see God, he still sees you. He still sees you. And he's headed your way. And you got to keep believing that he hasn't left you, that he hasn't forsaken you. Bible says that the disciples, they see Jesus, but they don't think it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost. The only thing worse than being in a storm is having a ghost in your storm. Talk about a bad day. Yet it's not a ghost. It's Jesus. Yet they're blinded by the darkness. Listen to me. Whatever you see will dictate what you feel. Many of you, you feel all sorts of different things, and it's because what you're looking at is creating fear in your life. The disciples, they should be experiencing faith, but instead they're feeling fear, and it's because they're fixated on the darkness. They can't see the light that is on the way. The other day, I was at my house with my boy, Gene. He's here on the front row. He helps me out a whole lot. He's one of my dearest friends, greatest dude. We were watching TV, and they were playing an old rerun. In fact, they were playing the NBA Finals last year. And it was Golden State and Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, if you don't know, Golden State, ladies and gentlemen, they won the championship. This was a rerun. This was, you know, a rerun means it already happened. It's over. Golden State has won. That's not changing. That's in the past. That's history. You understand? Yet Gene starts watching this game. He's 5 minutes into this thing, and somehow he forgets about time. I guess he forgot about the outcome. He starts getting angry at the game. Oh, horrible pass. Oh, he's getting worried. I said, Gene, why are you getting so emotional? Newsflash, Golden State wins. Yet I came with some news for some of you tonight. Because in the same way, we already know our God is victorious. We already know the outcome. But you keep looking at this world. You keep fixing your eyes on this storm. And all you're getting is fear. But I've come to you tonight to tell you, let go of fear. Grab on to faith. Your God is closer than you could ever imagine. Come on, 6 p.m. If you believe it, make some noise in this place. Are you in a storm or are you just in between two miracles? Because if you want to get to, you got to go through. And Jesus has not left you. He's on the way to you. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning light. The darker the night, the brighter the morning. This too shall pass. You're going to get through this thing. God's taking you through the storm. He's taking you through the storm. We know the outcome. We know who wins. But when we get our eyes on the wrong thing, fear sets in. That's why the Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And guess what? Faith does not come by sight. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. There's a purpose to be here tonight. There's a reason why you're here tonight. This is biblical. This is building and producing faith. And I wonder how many of us, just like the disciples, were experiencing and feeling fear when we should be expressing faith. And the only way you're going to produce faith is when you close your eyes and you open up your ears and you hear the voice of God. You are not alone. This too will pass. You're going to get through this thing. He takes us through the storm. So tonight, look at this text. I want to give you just three basic little things that I see in the text as to why does God take us through storms? Why does God take us through storms? And I'd encourage you just to take a couple notes because this is going to help you. But why does God take us through storms? I think first is because it makes you realize you're not in control. When you go through a storm, it makes you realize whether you like it or not that you are not in control. As you read the passage in Mark 6, what you'll see is the Bible says that the disciples, they were straining at the oars. They were straining against the wind. They were trying to row the boat, but even with all their effort, they could not progress. Have you ever put all your effort into something and it still didn't work out? I mean, it's one thing, right, to fail when you never really tried. It's another thing when you put your heart and your soul, you put your time, your energy, all your effort, and still nothing changed. These disciples, they are rowing with everything they've got. They're straining against the wind. And even in all their effort, they can't beat the wind. They're not in control. And it is a hard pill to swallow to realize that you're not in control. You can have your life all put together in every flow chart. You can have your life color coordinated in every organized bin. Your life can be a walking, talking crate and barrel. I don't know. You can have all your bank accounts perfect. But how many of you know all you need is one storm to come through to remind you you are not in control? Past couple weeks has been challenging, to say the least. Of course, Irma came through, which created real devastation. My wife, Dawn Shu, and I, we got stuck in Dallas trying to get back into Miami. They closed the doors, of course, for safety reasons last Sunday. Then, of course, this Sunday, still without a venue, trying to put on church. And it's been challenging. You ever have a bad day? You ever have a bad day? Come on, we can be honest. How about a bad week? Bad week? Bad month? Bad year? Bad decade. Okay, stop. It's getting out of control in here. Someone's got two hands up, you know. What is this, the hokey pokey? Stop. I could say we've had a, you know, I don't like to use the word bad, but challenging. That's the spiritual word, challenging. It's been challenging. Challenging. We're putting effort in. Oh, we got to fix. We're trying to solve things. Church gets shut down, city gets hit with a hurricane. We finally get back into Miami, only to find out that we don't have power at our house. Shout out to all the people that still don't have power in your house. Displaced, hello. And then Wednesday night, in the middle of the night, Dawn Cherie woke up in intense, crazy, wild pain. I've never seen anything like it before, man. She's her lower back in so much pain that it's literally causing her to scream out. We jump into the car, rush to the hospital. Of course, our first thoughts are, is something going on with the baby? I mean, the last thing you want is lower back pain that's so excruciating. We don't know what's happening. We're feeling so out of control. Praise God, we discovered, I shouldn't say praise God, this is the only time we would say this, but we found out she has kidney stones, which someone told Dawn Cherie the other day that kidney stones are worse than labor. Yeah. Dawn Cherie's like, I'm ready, you know? I'm watching my wife, and I don't know if you've been there before, and I'm completely out of control. Nothing I can do. My words aren't solving this thing. I can't pay any money. My leadership, my preaching skills not changing this thing. But I gotta be honest with you. What have every one of these storms done? They've made me realize that I'm not in control, and so it's driven me to my knees, and it's caused me to call upon the name of God. I'm being honest. The other night in the hospital, I'm just being honest with you because this is therapy for me. I don't think I've prayed with that much dedication and determination and fervency in a long time. Like, you know you're desperate, right, when you start trying to make deals with God? Lord, if you just do this right now, I will never, you know. You've done it too. But I think God wants our desperation. I think God wants us on our knees. I think God wants us to know if you've got a storm that's too big, that's leading you to being out of control, why don't you call upon the God who's in control? Why don't you call upon the God who holds the whole world in his hands? He's the God who can say peace and things have to still. See, the Bible says, this is wild to me. Bible says Jesus walks out onto the water to where the disciples are. Here they are, they're straining, they're trying to put their effort into it, they're trying to fight, they're terrified, they're afraid. And Jesus, he walks out on the water, and he says stuff that makes me laugh. He shows up, dun-ta-la, take courage. It is I, don't be afraid. Disciples are like, okay, but we're still in a storm, you know? Look at this. When they were out of control, Jesus tells them to take courage. Take courage. Listen, courage is one of those things that cannot be, it can't be purchased. People can't share it with you. Hey, here's a little courage. Yo, let me borrow some courage. You can't. Courage comes one way. It has to be taken. You have to take it for yourself. You can't borrow your mom's courage. You can't borrow your spouse's courage. You have to take courage for yourself. It's funny because a lot of us, we're going, yo, God, we want control. But God's like, no, I want you to have courage. I don't know if you can have control, but what I do know is you can have courage. And you might not ever have control, but you can always have courage. Courage what? Courage to face the storm. You might not be in control of the storm, but you can have the courage to face the storm, to say, I'm not gonna back down. I'm not gonna run away. I'm gonna walk through this thing because I believe this thing is leading me to another miracle. See, control, that's God's responsibility. Courage is yours. Take courage. Take courage. When I get into a storm, it makes me realize that I am not in control. And let me just help you tonight. It is so healthy to be reminded that you're not in control. It is so healthy for your soul for you to exhale and go, wait a minute, I am not in control. Let go, let God. All I'm gonna do, I'm gonna play my part, and that is to take courage. But notice as the text goes on, I don't believe that storms, that we go through them just that we might realize that we're not in control. But secondly, I think it's that we go through storms because it gives way to new revelations. It gives way to new revelations. Now watch this. The Bible says that Jesus, he says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And then it says, immediately. Everyone say immediately.
Immediately.
Oh, you can do better. Say immediately.
Immediately.
Choir, everyone, immediately. Yeah, they're good. You guys left them. That was messed up. Immediately, the storm died down and Jesus got into the boat. And this is what this text says. You got to read it for yourself. It says that they were completely amazed. Have you ever noticed that we tend to be completely amazed when things happen immediately? Yeah. How many know we love immediate? Yeah. Suddenly, yes, God. Like most of us, when we go to pray, we want God to do it like now. Yeah. Hurry. Suddenly, immediately, right now. Yesterday, God, that's how bad I need it. And when things happen immediately, sometimes we become completely amazed. And here's what I've learned about following Jesus, is that following God is slow. Slow. And then immediate. Slow. And then immediate. Following God is really, really slow. But then immediate. It's slow. And then suddenly God. It's slow again, and then suddenly God again. Slow some more, and then immediately God does something. See, this is the truth tonight. You need to hear this. The truth of the matter is the reason why this happens this way, the reason why we begin to follow God in this way, is that so many times the immediate, completely amazing, suddenly things of God are typically on the heels of slowly, faithfully, persevering, following God. Why? Because I think God wants us to be more caught up with Him than we are His miracles. God wants to reveal who He is, not just what He does. God wants you to get a revelation of who He is when you're in the midst of the storm. But unless you're committed to following God slowly, you'll never see immediate, suddenly things happen. But when you start to realize that God's revealing who He is in the storm, it all of a sudden leads you to living a life that you're constantly, completely amazed with who He is. You see, the disciples, what's wild is this, is the disciples, it took a storm for Jesus' divinity to be revealed to the disciples. They were completely amazed. Yo, this Jesus guy, He's not just a teacher. He's not just a philosopher. He is God. It took the storm to reveal that Jesus was God. Now that they know that Jesus is God, now they can have a brand new posture in the midst of their crisis. Because if you got God in your boat, what storm can really stop you? See, I can't choose my storm, but I can choose my spirit. And when I get a revelation of who He is, it helps me choose my spirit. I gotta be honest with you, this past week, there has been revelation after revelation after revelation. I'm just telling you, I mean, like this storm, Irma, that came through, the real storm, the literal storm, it has brought and it's created so many new for instance, new revelation, like I just met my neighbor finally. Took Irma for me to meet Martha across the street. She's a lovely gal, been living in the neighborhood for 33 years, and she didn't leave Miami. This isn't her first storm, not her first rodeo. She's not afraid of any storm. Martha, great to meet you. Took a storm for me to say hello to my neighbor. It shook some stuff up. But not just that, come on. This week alone, we've gotten to meet with politicians and partner with commissioners in the city, partner with churches, partner with organizations. It would not have happened unless a storm came about and shook things up and revealed some new relationships. One of the coolest things about yesterday is, yesterday it was a different project because we didn't call it I Love My City, we actually called it We Love Miami. And the reason why was because we weren't just the only church that was serving on Saturday, but rather we were in partnership with two other churches in our city, Brave Church and Calvary Church. And have we known these guys for a while? Of course. But have we ever done anything together? We never have. But the storm came and it created an opportunity for us to partner. And it reminded us the devil's not afraid of a big church. He's afraid of a united church. And together we can do more. I got a new revelation. See, the storm changed my rhythm. I'm not even living at my house. My gym, praise God, has been closed. And I'm not advocating not to work out, but what I am advocating is every once in a while, you need to switch your routine up. Every once in a while, you need a new rhythm. Every once in a while, you need to break it apart so you can get a new perspective, so you can see something different. I can't always change my circumstance, but I can always change my perspective. I'm going to learn something in the midst of this storm. God has taken you through the storm. Come on. If you believe it tonight, somebody give God some praise in this place. He's taken you through. He's given you a new revelation. You can learn something. Something is shaking. Something is happening. The Bible says there in the boat, they were completely amazed. And as you read the text, you'll go further. It says this. They say they were completely amazed because they did not understand about the loaves and their hearts had become hardened. Now, this is important that we understand the context of this. You see, right before they got in the storm, I told you they were in a miracle. The miracle was Jesus fed 5,000 men, more like 15,000 people. The Bible says that the disciples did not understand the loaves, meaning that when Jesus did this miracle, it still not had been revealed to them that he was God. Now, the miracle is pretty astonishing. Jesus took a Lunchable. Broke it up, fed 15,000 people. And this is what's really wild. The Bible is so detailed. It fed everybody, and then there was leftovers. You thought your mom at Thanksgiving created that? No. Jesus invented that too. Here's more detail. Do you know how many leftovers there were? 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Little Bible check. How many disciples are there? 12 disciples. Meaning, Jesus had provided and prepared enough resource for each disciple for the moment that they got into their storm that they would have everything that they would need in the midst of it. I don't think you understand what I'm saying tonight. What if I told you, you got everything you need to make it through your storm? This storm will not take you out. God has prepared a way and he has given you the provision and the resource. Come on. Can I get a witness in the Fillmore on a Sunday night? Everything you need. They get out into the lake and the storm is raging and the Bible says, that they were completely amazed with him walking on water because they had already forgotten what he had done with the loaves. Their hearts had become hardened, meaning they had already forgotten what he had done. Listen to me, we are a forgetful people. And our faith suffers when we forget. Some of us in this place, we just keep forgetting just his goodness and his grace. Sometimes you need a storm to shake some things up that you might be revealed, that his presence, that his power, that his nature, that his character, it might be revealed again. He's with you. I want us to be a church that we are reminded constantly of his goodness and his grace and his mercy. Friends, we are in the Fillmore Theater and it's only year two. Come on, I think God is with us. I think he's with us. Team is coming out. But thirdly, tonight, as we get ready to close, is simply this, is that thirdly, I believe that God allows us to go through storms because it creates the perfect stage for an audacious response. Oh, this is good. It creates the perfect stage for an audacious response. See, I really believe that adversity creates the perfect moment for audacity. that when the storm comes, it's creating a stage for you to do something audacious for God. You have to decide, is this storm going to make you back down or step up? See, Peter, he lets this create a stage for an audacious move. He takes a leap of faith and he walks on water. That's pretty audacious. Yet without the storm, Peter would have never walked on water. See, you can be in a storm, just don't let the storm be in you. Because when you're in a storm, it's the perfect stage for an audacious response, for you to make a bold move for God. All eyes are watching. It's in your adversity. The thing that comes out of you is what defines you. When life is squeezing you and pressure is on you, what's really inside of you? Storms, they create the stage for real audacious moves. I'm so proud of our church. I'm so grateful for every one of you. This week, a lot of you could have stepped back, you could have sat back, but that's not who we are. Instead, you made an audacious, bold move. You allowed this storm to create a stage for you to give God glory. Hundreds of you, through Instagram and social media alone, have shown up since Wednesday serving this city. I think it's an audacious move. Thousands of people, elderly homes and neighborhoods and organizations have been served because of your audacious move. In the last 14 days, over $30,000 has gone out from this church in hurricane relief. I think it's an audacious, audacious move. It's bold. They closed the doors on our venue. But we're a church that doesn't take no for an answer. And so instead of just saying we're not going to do church, we decided, come on, why don't we fill up the Fillmore with the presence of God? And we turned Fillmore Theater into the house of God, to the home of VU Church. It's audacious. It's bold. And your storm is creating a stage. The world is watching. What will your response be? Are you going to sit back or are you going to step up? I want us to be a church that when adversity hits, audacity steps in. Here's what's been really wild to me about this text. This is Mark chapter 6 that we're reading tonight. In Mark chapter 6, is one of the four Gospels. And Mark 6 is different from Matthew 14. Mark, just so you should know about him a little bit, Mark is, he was not a disciple of Jesus, meaning he was not there that night at 4 a.m. when the wind was raging and the rain was falling. He wasn't there. Instead, Mark, he was most likely a convert or a disciple of Peter. In fact, most scholars will tell us that most of Mark was given to him by an eyewitness account of the apostle Peter. Peter spoke it to him, Mark wrote it down. Now, what's even more peculiar is Mark does not record Peter walking on water. Only Matthew does. No, in Mark, we just see Jesus walking on water. And what's wild is that when Peter came to tell Mark the story of that night, when he came to tell him about this wild, radical storm that almost killed them, that as they were putting their effort against the wind, that the wind, it would not break. When he got to the most climactic part, he did not tell Mark about him walking on water, which is totally opposite of my story. Because I'd be telling everybody, yo, I don't know what Bartholomew is doing. We don't ever know what he's doing. Judas was doing something wrong. I was walking on water. Not Peter. Peter leaves it out. Why? Because to Peter, it wasn't the most climactic moment. No, Jesus was the most climactic moment. See, what if I told you tonight that this story, some of us, we've been reading it for years, and we walk out of these doors and we go, I'm going to walk on water. And it's not bad to want to walk on water, but that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is not Jesus walking on water. It's not Peter walking on water. Newsflash, Jesus can walk on anything. He can walk on clouds. He can do the real moonwalk. Like on the moon. Story's not about walking on water. The story is a picture of the gospel. That you serve a God that won't let anything stop him from getting to you. No mountain too high, no valley too low. If he's got to walk on top of the stormy water to get to you in your darkest night, well then baby, you can rest assured your God is on the way. He's headed in your direction. He's the God who walks through the storm. He's the God who heads through the night. He's the God who makes his way to you because he's got a plan for you. This is the gospel. I couldn't get to God, so God came to me. Come on, church.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at VUChurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.